expecting a baby and would like to hasten it to go to the hospital, I suggest you schedule your husband to preach on Sunday morning. Certainly our thoughts and prayers are with Mitzi and Brian. Brian called this morning at 5:58. That's an hour earlier than he called 2 weeks ago, so I had more notice today. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 21. Many of you are aware that we're encouraging everybody to read through the Bible in 1990 by reading 5 chapters from the New Testament on Sunday mornings and 3 each day of the week from the Old Testament. This past week on Sunday, if you're on schedule, you would have been reading Matthew chapters 21 through 25. We want to use a section of Matthew 21 as a text for our lesson this morning. Beginning at verse 28, "But what think ye? A certain man had 2 sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said likewise. He answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of these twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. The publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. And notice the first 3 words of verse 33, Hear ye, or hear another parable. Those 3 words indicate to us that what's recorded in verses 28 through 32 is a parable. A parable being a short story with the intention of illustrating a moral attitude or a religious principle. This is a rather short story. There's not a great deal said in it, but usually a parable intended to teach basically one lesson. Maybe some related lessons, but basically one lesson. Let's observe for a few minutes some of the thoughts that are presented here and some of the applications that might be made in our lives. There is no doubt that the Father here is intended to represent God. Keeping that in mind, we want to especially notice in the first place the commandment or the orders that were given. And then after having done that, notice the reactions and the possible reactions to those orders. The Father evidently gave the same orders to both sons. Or it says he came to one and said, and then it says he came to the second and said likewise. Those orders, as recorded here, were simply these. Son, go work today in my vineyard. There are some 6 one-word questions that are usually asked, or at least can be asked, about a situation. When the answer is understood, usually we have a pretty good understanding of the circumstances of that situation. How and why are not indicated here, but the other 4 are. We simply want to notice this morning from this statement made to the sons, who, what, when, and where. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Notice first the who that is involved. This commandment was directed to, these orders were given to, his sons. Back a generation or so ago, perhaps maybe 2 generations ago, one of the reasons for having a big family was to have children to work. particularly if the family lived on a farm. I'm convinced that that was one of the reasons that my grandparents had 13 Jews. On one side of the family, on the other side, my grandparents had a small family, they only had 8. Now, I've heard Dad talk about this, and I've heard my grandfather talk about the importance, especially, of having sons born into the family if the family lived on the farm. And in many instances, as you well know, even if it were a family business that was in town, usually as soon as the young folks were able to do anything, they began to be involved in the business, and they began to have responsibilities assigned to them. I'm still convinced that my dad worked to find things for me to do, especially if he were going to be gone from home for a while. But it was important for the children, for the sons in the family, to be involved. And that's exactly what the idea is here. The father is coming to the sons, and he's saying to his sons, not to somebody that lived on the adjoining farm, not to somebody that lived down the road, in this case, not even to somebody that might be hired, but to somebody that was in the family. Sons, there's something I want you to do. That needs to be applied in our work as a part of the family of God today. The treasure is said to have been placed in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. When Jesus left, he gave the orders immediately to his apostles and through them to those that would come after them, and prayed for both groups in John 17. He realized then, and we must realize today, that if the Lord's work is going to be done, it's going to be done by his family. We're not going to even hire anybody to really do the Lord's work. Oh, we may hire somebody to help us to build a building or to prepare in some way or another, but when we get right down to the real work of the family, the church, it must be done by the sons of God. It must be done by the children of God. And folks, if we don't do it, it's not going to be done. In the second place, in these orders that were given, he not only points out who, but he points out what. And he underscores that what by using two action words, go and work. The first of these indicates that we cannot just sit where we are and accomplish what's to be done. Those who stayed in the house would not get the work done on the farm. And that certainly is not to say that the work that was done in the house is unimportant. It may have been important for those who stayed there for the others to go, but the immediate work that was to be done in the vineyard could not be done in the house itself. There had to be some going. And that almost immediately reminds us of that same little marching word given in the Great Commission, to go into all the world. And that world includes, not limited to, but includes our own community where we live. That suggests to us something that's been said and of which we've been reminded time and time again, that we cannot just wait in this building and expect people to come to us, that there has to be some going, there has to be some reaching out, even into our immediate area. And then there's that little four-letter word, work. And if there's any four-letter word today which needs to be used, it is this one. We in this country have almost made a switcheroo. We've eliminated some four-letter words like work and included some four-letter words in the general language that don't need to be there. We need to change back. Too many parents are making statements today, I don't want my sons and daughters to have to work like I did. Living in an age of technology and constant discoveries, We certainly have machines that are replacing men, and in many instances we're able to do things with less effort than we formerly did. And that trend seems to be coming into the church with the idea that we can get the job done through machines and not have to put forth effort. Thank God for the discoveries that make it easier sometimes to do some of the things and to do them more quickly. But that word work needs to be put back in the current vocabularies of all of God's children. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for night cometh when no man can work. Paul said, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just a little bit, but abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. There's work to be done in the kingdom of God. In the area of teaching people about Christ, in the area of serving those who are in need, and other specific works that will, in a sense, branch off from those two. Go work. That's what the Father said to each of these sons. And then he told them where to go. He said, go work in my vineyard. The vineyard is used many times as a synonym for kingdom. It is in the song that we sing. Sometimes the word kingdom or vineyard is used to refer to the world itself as the kingdom of God, made up of all those that he's created. And in that sense, this commandment applies. Go out there in the vineyard and work to have a harvest. Sometimes the word vineyard or kingdom is used to refer to the church itself. And if it's used in that sense, it applies that there's work to be done within the kingdom, even in bringing those back who are not faithful as a part of the workers of the Lord and the family of the Lord. And so in either way, the principle applies here. It was Jesus also who said in the last few verses of Matthew 9, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. It has been suggested recently by some of our leaders that sometime during this year, and perhaps to a certain degree throughout the year, we need to place an emphasis on harvest. And particularly harvesting people in this general area who are not Christians, bringing back those who may not be as faithful as they should. It has been suggested that maybe particularly in the month of October, which is a harvest month, that we have that as a theme and begin even now to work toward that as a harvest time. I was just thinking this week, maybe we need to develop the motto of each one win one by 91. Because there is the vineyard here. There are people here. And even though we are not like some foreign countries where the Bible's not been taken and Christ is not known at all, we still have people in our area who are lost. And I'm convinced that we have people who can be taught if we have the workers to go out into the vineyard. Those of you who've been a member of this congregation for very long know even better than I do that there are many people this morning who formerly sat on one of these pews in worship service who are sitting somewhere else this morning. They're not here with us. There's work to be done in the vineyard and for the kingdom of our Lord. Having mentioned the who, the what, and the where in this little simple statement, Jesus mentioned the when with a degree of urgency. It seems as you study the life of Christ that you must be impressed with the fact that he was never really in a hurry. He always had time to do whatever was called for on any occasion. But although he was never in a hurry, there seemed to be an urgency about everything that he did. He did not rush from one thing to another, but he kept his shoulders to the task. And I think perhaps did the best job of doing what someone suggested when he said we need to make haste slowly. He was urgent. And I believe there's a sense of urgency expressed in this little statement. Notice he said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Most of us talk more about tomorrow than we do today. Go work today in my vineyard. Hebrew writer Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 13, said, "Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, any of you be deceived through the deceitfulness of sin." He went ahead and said that we are saved if we hold fast to the beginning of that confidence. And then came back and mentioned this urgency again and said, while it is called today, we need to be exhorting and encouraging one another. At least twice in those verses, he said, today is when it needs to be done. In Acts 16, after the Philippian jailer had been taught to where he could believe what to do, the Bible says he took them the same hour of the night and was baptized. And Paul, in giving an admonition in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, said, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, this hour, and now." The father in this little parable said, "Sons, those of you in my family, get up from where you're sitting, get out there and do something in my vineyard today." And I think just emphasizing that statement sounds the real application to us today. Now, having noticed those four things about the marching orders, I want you to notice four possible responses indicated by these two sons. The first son said, when his father came and said, "Go work in my vineyard today," "I will not." That was his first response. And for a period of time, how long I don't know, at least it says afterwards there was a change, for a period of time that was his response, "I will not go." There are those who make that response today to the invitation of Christ and to the commandment of God himself. So far as we know, that's the response that the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 made initially and continued to make. As far as we know, he never did go in the right direction. Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian, but so far as we know, he never did go to work in the vineyard of the Father. Felix trembled at the preaching of the gospel and said, "Sometime I will," but as far as we know, he said by his actions, "I will not," and he did not. And that's a possible answer, an answer in fact that some in this audience have given and continue to give. "Work in my vineyard, I won't do it." And you haven't. A second response is indicated by the change in this first son. He said, "I won't," but later he changed and he went. He first said, "I won't," but then he changed his mind. This version says he repented. Another one says that he changed his mind. Another one says he regretted his first answer. And all those ideas seem to be involved. He realized what he had said, that he'd not made the right answer, and he was big enough to change his attitude, which in turn changed his actions. And he went. I tend to think of John Mark when I think of this young man. You know, John Mark, at least one part of his life, would not go or would not continue to go with them, and later he changed and became valuable in the Lord's service. And then when you consider the second son, he said, "I will." Now, his first response is a good response. And the evidence here is that his intentions at this point were good. And his promise that he made seemed to be good. Certainly not unlike any promise you and I might make to each other or to God himself. Son, go work today in my vineyard. I will. We want you to do this. I will. We'd like you to see that this is done. I will. But he did not. Now, I don't know whether he willfully calculated the change in his mind or whether he became busy about something else and let it slip his mind or whether he just continued to think about intentions and never got around to doing it. I don't know what really prompted the change, but this young man said, I will at first, and then he never did get around to it. So you have two ideas expressed by this one. The one who says, I will, and could have gone on. This young man could have gone on and done what the father wanted him to, like Abraham did. God said, get out of Ur, and he did. He said, get out of Haran, and he did. He said, take your son and offer him, and he did. As far as we're able to tell, although he made some mistakes in other ways, Abraham, every time God said, go, he went. Every time he said work, he worked. He'd be like that one that said, I will, and he did it. But then Demas would not be unlike the one that's really suggested by the final decision of this second son. Demas was with Paul for a while, and then he forsook him and left. He said, I will, and he evidently started, and then he turned around and went in the other direction. So you've got four possibilities of the answers indicated by these two sons to the marching orders of the father. One said, I won't. For a period of time, he did not. That characterizes some. But he changed. He first said, I won't, and then he did. And that's a decision some need to make today. The second one said, I will. If he just acted on that attitude, he would have been in fine shape. And that's the kind of sons that we need in the kingdom today. I will, and then get up and do something about it. We do not have to first say I won't in order to change and say I will. We can start out right now saying I will and keep going. But then the sad situation is that fourth possibility of the one who said I will. Maybe intended to. But for some reason, or maybe better said, excuse, never did get around to doing what his father told him to do. Which one of these four represents you today? There is a sense in which the Father in heaven is standing and speaking to all of us as his sons, at least in the created sense. And he's saying, son, go work today in my vineyard. Some are saying, I will, and will be about his business. Some are saying, I won't. Maybe you'll change your mind this week, or maybe even during the time the invitation song is being sung, or between now and then, and repent, and obey, and be ready to go and work in his kingdom. Some will say, I will go, and then not get around to it. And some will just simply say, I won't, and continue to say, I won't, and continue to say, I won't, and don't. Which one represents you? I believe we need to emphasize, among all the things that have been said today, the urgency that's indicated in this passage. Sons, go work today in my vineyard. That emphasizes the urgency of the need. It emphasizes the urgency of the attitude being right and the urgency of the action, to the extent that those of us that are trying to live as faithful Christians ought to determine more than we ever have before to go more and to work harder. And those who are weak Christians and unfaithful need to determine today, I've been saying I won't by my actions, but I'm going to repent and go and get busy. And those who have never come into the kingdom decide today, I'm going to get busy as a part of my Father's work. You need to be baptized into the kingdom, or you need to be restored to work harder in the kingdom. The same Father that said, go work today in my kingdom, is saying to you, come to Jesus and be ready to work in that kingdom. As together we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling people, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou go farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today.